From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon, and I'm joined in studio by Mike and Evangeline Gomez, U-Turn for Christ New Mexico. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
I always enjoy this because you guys have some really cool outcomes. You also have great personal testimonies and things. In fact, I'm going to share a quote that Evangeline shared with us a couple years ago. And this is kind of to give you a flavor if you're thinking about listening today or not. Here's something Evangeline told us. I would drink recreationally, I thought. Then all of a sudden, I am taking shots just to make dinner. I have my bottle hidden in the freezer behind the fish sticks. You think you're just going to take the edge off, and all of a sudden, it's a life-dominating sin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, U-Turn for Christ. Pastor Mike is the director of U-Turn for Christ. Evangeline is the director of the women's ministry, and she's Mike's partner in life. You guys are doing this together, raising a family. I'm always excited asking you about your little girl that's a dancer, because one of my girls was a dancer and danced in Christmas Joy, so I know you're having great fun with that. And I found out a little bit more before the show about your other daughter. We'll have to hire her as our high-tech wizard as we get a little farther down the road.
Oh, she'd be excited to hear that.
Well, and I think everything is tech, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, my first question is for both of you, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to communicate well what my intention is in the question, but I hope it will. How do drugs and alcohol get control of a person's life? I was thinking maybe that sounds obvious, but I don't think it is so obvious.
It's not. It's real deceptive. And drugs, alcohol, they're inanimate objects, you know, and people take these objects and they're seeking something. And a lot of times a drink, like, you know, she was saying, takes the edge off, and you start to rely on that to take the edge off instead of truly dealing with the problems. Other times there's just generational sin that a family grows up in, and it's just seen, and the behavior is copied, and it just perpetuates itself, and it just becomes common. I didn't really recognize how deep it was in our society until I saw people who were truly free from substance use, you know, whatever it was, alcohol, drugs. You don't know until you see that it's possible to be able to live life without anything. And the main thing that replaced all of that for me, of course, was a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say it replaced it, because, Evangeline, I'll direct this to you. People that, for example, an alcoholic, they actually spend a lot of time with alcohol, don't they?
Yes, they do. So my background is I grew up with it around me my entire life since a young child. So me drinking the way that I was, I didn't see anything wrong with it, because that's what I grew up in. And even though those in my life that were drinking weren't like stumbling over, or like clearly like you couldn't tell that they were drinking, there was always alcohol around. There was always alcohol at the parties. You didn't have a family gathering without the alcohol. And then for me, alcohol opened me up to a gateway of other drugs and doing things that I never thought I would do, going places I never thought I would go, and making decisions that I never thought I would make. And it just took over my entire life. But so to hear you even say about the fish stick story just like brought tears to my eyes, because that was a very dark time in my life. And even though I was a professional by that time, I had my military career, I had my college degree. Yes, I was a single mom, but I had all of these things that the world said, do these things and then you'll be filled up. Do these things and then you will feel accomplished. And each goal that I met, I felt emptier and emptier.
I know neither of you would be sitting here talking to us on the radio if I didn't already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it possible to break free from addiction?
Absolutely.
Do people that are addicts, though, or alcoholics, do they think they can't break free?
Yeah, you know, there's a big lie in that. And one of the big sayings is, in even in recovery in general, secular, you'll say in different groups, "Hi, I'm Mike and I'm an alcoholic." And you never can get away from the lifestyle if you're continually an addict. And one of the great promises of Jesus is that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And what a great deal that is, that you're no longer an addict. You're a new creation in Christ.
But you know what's funny is, and Christians use this, Christianese I get really worried about, because unbelievers don't know what the heck we're talking about.
Right.
But we're always say to each other, we're all sinners.
Yep.
But when somebody talks to one of you two, you're able to present, look, I'm just like you. I fought through all of this. That's why I'm in this ministry, is because I want you to be free just as I am free. But all of us are susceptible to falling to sin. In fact, you know, I would say the Bible clearly teaches that we all are still sinners,
mm-hmm.
even though we're made whole in Jesus Christ. And the Lord frees us from the sin when we are willing to confess and say, hey, I've blown it. God, thank you for forgiving me. And he washes us. Now, there's still consequences, right?
Yeah.
Still consequences of, you know, I get really terrified about substance abuse, because people drive cars and do things like that. And awful things can happen that were basically unintentional, but there's a price to pay for all of that.
Yeah, a lot of people miss that, especially when you're young. You don't see or have all the life experience, and you don't think it's going to happen to you. You don't think it's going to happen to your loved one. And it does creep up on you, and it goes from being a point of recreation to, I need this every day.
Talk to us a little bit about the program of U-Turn for Christ. How is that structured?
Yeah, so the structure of the program is laid out in two phases, and really even three phases. But the first two phases are the most critical. When people come in to the first phase of the program, they're in a crisis, they're looking for help. They're a lot of times coming out of the hospital, or sometimes coming out of a different treatment center, and they need a little bit more long term.
You've had some judges in the court system also send people.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Tons. We have great reputation, especially in the federal court system, and here locally in the state system. And they see that we hold our people accountable. They see that we hold to the program that we say we have, and they respect that. And so we have a good reputation, especially in those judges who they've seen the turnaround, and they've.
So phase one is somebody comes in, and are they all acknowledging they have a problem, or are some there because they're coerced to be there?
Yeah, it can be both. Sometimes people end up there because they know they need to do something. They're not quite sure. We do our best to educate the person before they're coming in, but let's be real, they're not always in the right mind. I know I wasn't. I just knew I needed help. And somebody said, go to that place, U-Turn for Christ. And I was taught at an early age by my mom that there's power in the name of Christ. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll go there. I think God's going to have to help me with this one, because this is too big, you know, for me to handle on my own. And that's what drew me there. But it was an amazing thing to see other men like me who were going through the same problems. And I had seen that God had worked in their life. And they told me he could do the same thing for you. So these first 60 days, you end up there, you're just trying to get stable. You're trying to hear, you know, in a daily regiment, daily schedule, is provide stability. And they wake up at 5:30, 6 o'clock. There's a group devotion, group meeting. There's a goal set by 6:30 for the day. They choose a proverb for the day and seek to apply it. And it's just breaking these molds and these patterns and creating, you know, part of it's discipline, but even then, discipline's not going to change the heart. But it's giving you a guide rail to go into the hear the truth and be transformed by the love of Jesus. So those are the guide rails, and but it brings you into the truth.
So if you're a woman and you're in the program, Evangeline, how many other women would you be with that you're kind of living life with for this period of time?
Well, probably up to six, which is a lot if you're a woman. So it's bunk-style housing, but what I love about it is the level of accountability that we provide, sisterhood that develops by doing life together, because that's really truly what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing, living together, keeping one another accountable, encouraging one another in the scriptures, and helping carry one another's burdens. And that's what we do. I just think about like when I was in the military and you had a battle buddy and you never went anywhere without that battle buddy. This is very similar. And you're protecting one another and you're keeping eyes on one another, and we're coming alongside and helping to deal with those real heart issues that are the result of the addiction.
What's phase two, Mike?
Phase two, you graduate the first 60 days and you have that next period of where do I grow? You know, where do I need to grow? Where do I need to go? And it opens up. There, the first 60 days, you don't have a cell phone. You don't have any anything other than maybe the Bible and some of the material that we provide. And sometimes we have, you know, different things that come in. But you're just focused on getting stable. Second phase is more
discipleship. Are there withdrawal things that people go through during that time?
Not necessarily in the second phase. In the first phase, yes, alcohol is a very dangerous withdrawal. So the oftentimes, if it's serious, they'll have to spend time in the hospital before they get to us. And so we kind of have a sobriety checkpoint. You know, there's a period where the detox can last for opiates for 5 to 7 days, even longer than that for some of the stronger substances. Alcohol, same, about 3 to 7 days. And there can be acute symptoms. And they need medical help at that point if there's severe withdrawal symptoms. And so they'll have to be treated in a detox unit or in an environment like a hospital.
And I know the state actually provides some of those services, right, for detox.
Yeah. There's a care center, and a lot of people will go to care center. It used to be called MATS. That's where I went. Mm-hmm. That's where I first learned about U-Turn for Christ. I was sitting in one of the counseling rooms there in MATS, and I called my mom up because the lady there, she was like a mother, and she said, "You need to call your mom." And I called her and said, "Mom, I need help." Mm. And that's where people meet us all the time, is in places like that.
I love it.
And we begin to engage and talk about if this is right for them.
This afternoon, we're talking about substance abuse, alcoholism, other kinds of addictions, and the ministry of U-Turn for Christ. Pastor Mike Gomez is in studio. He's the director for the men, and Evangeline, his wife, is the director of the women's ministry. They're also partners in life, so we're going to be mixing in a little Gomez family stuff with what they're doing in ministry. I hope you'll listen and think about the letter U, Turn for Christ, newmexico.org. Go there and find out what they're doing. Read about what they do, how they do it, and maybe you want to become part of, I don't know if you have volunteers, but I know you can always take donations and support. You're not supported as a government agency, but there you do make some people pay their room and board and some other things. So we'll talk about some of those logistics. We'll talk about the rest of phase two and possibly phase three as we get into the next segment. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. Pastor Mike Gomez and his wife Evangeline are in the studio today, and we're talking about U-Turn for Christ. It's a local ministry that helps people get free from alcoholism, substance abuse, etc. And I've just, you know, I met you guys probably 5-6 years ago, started talking about this on the radio, know a lot of young people. Like, for example, I will say, and I'm going to testify to this, Calvary Church is one of many churches that has the same intent, but the way the campus is designed, they want people on the property every day to come and experience the peace. Like there's a beautiful park here. There's an area next to the baptismal with the fountain and the sound, and people come out and eat lunch. And a lot of your guys from U-Turn for Christ, I know in the fall you guys are out here like every Wednesday getting leaves and everything else. And the people that are working on escaping substance abuse, they're working and helping a lot of different people, aren't they, as part of their recovery?
Yeah. Part of it is giving, you know, giving to others, being about others before yourself and changing the whole mindset. And that's part of it, you know. The whole emphasis on addiction is self-centered.
But you told me something during the break that I didn't know. There are people that literally have never talked about Christ or religious thought or faith in any way, yet they come to know about themselves and the way God sees them in your ministry.
Yeah, it's true. So many people come in, they don't know a single thing about the Lord. They don't know, never read a Bible. Our assistant pastor, Johnny, if he's listening, he'll tell you he came in with what he thought was a Bible, but it was actually a men's devotional, and goes, "I got a Bible, and let me see it." And, you know, he just started from there, just not knowing into knowing, and now leading others in the same way.
Yeah. Evangeline, this is not on my list, but I'm thinking that not necessarily unique to women, because I know this happens on both sides of the sexes. I suspect that there are other bad things that accompany substance abuse. I'm thinking about physical abuse and other kinds of things, both people committing that and being victims of it. Do people heal up from all of that when they finally figure out how to get free from, say, alcohol?
Absolutely. So, I mean, there is a lot of trauma that's involved with addiction, and addiction is usually just a cover up for what's going on, a deeper issue on the inside. And what I see with the women, just devastating things that have happened. And that's why I was telling my husband on the way up here, like, I get a lot of phone calls from people about, like, it's not just homeless people that we help. Yes, there are some that come straight off the streets, but a good majority are just everyday mamas. And I was writing down a list of different women that we've helped over the years, and leaders of MOPS, you know, the homeschooling group, and BSF leaders, and Bible school students, and business professionals. And just something traumatic may have happened, and it just flips a switch for them. Because a lot of us don't know how to handle things that come at us in life in a biblical way. And a quick fix for that are substances, pain pills or wine, or it just overtakes us, gambling, men, food, you name it, anything can come in and take over real quick.
It's interesting what you just said in regard to women, and you used men as an example, something you can be addicted to. I hadn't thought about, can you be addicted to another person?
Absolutely. That was one of my main things. So once, you know, I was always replacing addictions. So I would go from one thing to the next. And addiction is a condition of the heart. Putting an idol on the place of my heart, something that only Christ can fill. But I didn't know that. And that's what gives hope in what we do. Because we don't go by the disease model. Like my husband was saying, "Hi, Mike, I'm an addict," or "I'm an alcoholic." No, I'm a new creation in Christ, and I get to walk in newness of life if I choose to. That's why there's such a high success rate in what we do, because those that are really willing to surrender it all to Jesus, they are going to be able to overcome any life-dominating sin.
Mike said during the break that you've had people that have been to other kinds of rehabilitation 20 times, did you say? And
yeah.
And they come to your program. What have they experienced that's different than everywhere else they've been?
Well, we are not ashamed of Christ. And it says it in the name, U-Turn for Christ. So we of course, emphasize that. And like any program, you're going to have rules. You're going to have the same types of things. But none of that can change a person's heart. God, you know, Jesus Christ is the only one who makes a claim that he can make a person born again, brand new. And it's a great offer for people who are tired of this life. They want a new life. They're searching for something. Well, he has it. And that really, it really turns on the light. If, you know, I don't even think there's a pun intended. It really does turn on the light, because if you're going through life struggling and you've tried everything else, you've been to rehabs and there's some, a lot of successes, but the main thing you come back to is what really truly changed. And you ask the person, like, I started putting God first. I started seeking Jesus. I knew that there was a better life than this, but I just didn't know how to get it.
So many times when we feel pain, trauma, or in anything, we use the word confused. And I always try to tell people, when you feel pain, that's not confusing. It's hard, but it's simple. If something is hurting you, get away from it. And I, how do you know when you have a life-dominating sin?
I would say whatever you center your life around, that's what controls you. So it dominates. A lot of people, for alcohol, the first thing you have to do when you wake up to be able to feel well, take a drink. Whether it's opiates, heroin, fentanyl, first thing you have to do to get well is to bow down to your God.
So if right now you're experiencing what you just described, but you're at a phase where you haven't been affected that much, and you think it's a hidden sin, that's a lie, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's important to differentiate between a believer who's in bondage to addiction and an unbeliever who's in bondage to addiction. An unbeliever is in bondage already, in darkness, and they're caught up in everything. A believer could come into bondage because they surrender the lordship of Jesus. And so they put aside God because they're controlled by the desires and the emotions and the circumstances. And it's real easy for even a believer to fall into that. As well as an unbeliever, obviously, the circumstances are powerful for addiction. And it really comes down to, is addiction just a disease, or is it truly sin, and can Jesus really deal with it? My evidence in my life is he can, and I see it all the time. But it's not easy. That's one thing that I will say. It's not easy to come and deal with these things. It is humbling, and it takes every part of you, and that's what Jesus truly wants, is every part of you.
It seems like both of you want people that are in jail, so to speak. They're in bondage to whatever the substance is they're abusing. You want them not only to be free, but you want them to see themselves the way God sees them. And confessing what's been tough in their lives, like Evangeline shared her story with us, and Mike, you have too. I just happened to have started the show with what Evangeline told us a couple years ago. You know that God will use that in a very powerful way to help other people, right?
Absolutely. I think I've shared this on the show before, but it's been a little over a year since the death of my sister. And she had been through U-Turn for Christ about 9 years before her death. So I understand both sides of it. Trying to walk with someone through the deepest hurts and pains of life as they're trying to wrestle with it and cover it up through drinking or pills or whatever the case may be. And it's up to each one of us individually, because we have a choice. Addiction is a choice. And free will choice is a powerful thing. And that's what we try and present. I know the ladies, I tell them, this is a safe place. This is a sanctuary. You're not here because God's mad at you. You may feel like you're alone and you've been cut off from the world, but you're here because he's shown you that he sees you, that he loves you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life to repurpose the pain that you've been through, that you don't have to cover it up and walk in shame anymore.
Is being addicted painful?
Yes. It's painful in so many different kinds of ways. You could obviously suffer physically. People become physically addicted. When you take a substance for so long, your body becomes accustomed to it and it needs it. And a lot of people might not understand that. Your body physically tells you that we need this, almost like insulin or almost like food, but these symptoms develop. And then part of the withdrawals is what you would call them, is that desire from your body physically that says, I need to have this, give this to me. And you feel oftentimes very sick, like the worst flu you ever had. And with alcohol delusions, you can see things and hear things, and it's just awful. It's awful, but there even more than that, there's a lot of emotional shame and regret and pain from things that you've done that you might feel like you might not ever be forgiven for. And that just continues to add wood to the fire. And you try to cover it up more and more, and it's like a self-perpetuating cycle. And obviously there's a lot more to it, but there's pain of shame. There's pain of regret, of unforgiveness and bitterness. And then there's the physical addiction and so much more that comes with it.
You know, I know we can absolutely count on the forgiveness of God.
Yeah.
But I think we'll start the next segment after this break with how do people react that you may have hurt through your addiction. And I want to know your experience with that as well. We'll be back with Mike and Evangeline Gomez right after these messages. I hope you'll stay with us. U-Turn for Christ is a ministry, and they're led by Pastor Mike Gomez and his wife, Evangeline. She's the director of the women's ministry. Mike kind of heads up the men's side of it. And men and women are separated. You might be a couple that's both abusing alcohol or whatever. Well, there's some tried and true and some proven ways that U-Turn for Christ can really help you out, and I want to encourage you to go to U-Turn for Christ, and that's not Y-O-U, that's the letter U, Turn for Christ, NewMexico.org. Their phone number is 505-217-6888. And hey, don't put up any more with being bound up and chained up by things that are taking over your life. Get free. And the opportunity is there right now for you to get free of that stuff. I don't care what you've tried. I trust Mike and Evangeline. They've been around for a long time. We see the fruit. I love seeing the men and women that are involved in your ministry and church. And by the way, if you're not a believer, I think you're going to experience something. Even if you never become a believer, you're going to have in Mike and Evangeline and the rest of their team, and even the people that are there that are Christians, they're going to love you anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a privilege to be able to meet anybody who the Lord sends through the doors, because we know he brought them there. And we treat everybody the same. Everybody is like, let's line up, let's get ready, let's do this. You know, we have the responsibility to live up to what God's called us to do.
So let's talk about the people that are in your life. Okay, you've been hiding that you're an alcoholic. We're going to hide that you've been user of fentanyl, or maybe you've been using painkillers excessively. You don't want anybody to know. They do know, don't they, Mike? And you've been hurting people. How do those people react to you when you get involved with a program like U-Turn for Christ? Is everybody willing to say, oh, great, we love you, and everything's perfect now?
Some people, it's different, you know, for different families or different. Sometimes people don't even have family. And so they've just been struggling for a long time. But the people who have family and are, you know, they have believers in their family, and they want them to come to U-Turn for Christ because they believe. And they oftentimes are very supportive. And we do have to help coach them along so that way there's no you know, helping along of the addiction, you know, enabling. And no, those are hard conversations, but most people are often very receptive when they're coming to U-Turn for Christ. The family members are, because they know that it's going to take God. It's going to take Jesus in the person's life and in the family, because there's no, they've tried everything else. That's what happens. People have tried everything. And we just have to get real and say, the world doesn't have it, the answer.
Now, you mentioned that this is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. Yeah. Like anything's hard. It's hard being an athlete. It's hard being a piano player. It's hard being anything that's good. It takes a little bit of work. But I'm going to reemphasize, this is not a complicated thing.
No.
This is a, let's change it now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you have options and you have choices. And if you don't want to risk it anymore, just surrender your life to Jesus.
You know, Evangeline, I've got a question for you, Evangeline, and I'm worried that there are people that would prioritize something that I'm about to say over being healed. Mike said in the intro section that we encourage people not to bring cell phones, computers, tablets, media players, because that's going to distract you from the treatment and the course of developing relationships that you want people to develop, not only with the Lord, but with other people in the program. Are there people that might not come to the program because you won't let them have a cell phone that they're addicted to?
Absolutely. I mean, we're all going to make our excuses, but at the end of the day, it really comes down to, are we ready to surrender all? And if a cell phone's going to keep them from coming, or the no smoking rule is going to keep them from coming, then they're not at a place where they're ready to surrender all. And in order to, I like what Peggy Brown says. She's the founder's wife of U-Turn for Christ. And she's asked, what's the success rate for U-Turn? And she says 100% for anybody who's willing to surrender it all over to him.
You said before we started today that you guys are about to go to an event for all the U-turns around the country. Is that an encouraging experience for you guys?
Yeah, it is. We go every year. We take all the men and women who can go in the program, and we go to the headquarters, which is in California. A lot of people don't know U-Turn for Christ has been around for 30-plus years, and we have, you know, different facilities across the U.S. and across the world. But we get called back to the Holy Land, California, to headquarters, right? And so we show up, and everybody gets to see each other. There's encouraging stories. There's a whole day set aside of sharing the testimonies, and there's usually an emphasis for the day. So there's some messages that are emphasizing, you know, different things that they choose, but it's a great day. And a lot of people don't realize this too. U-Turn for Christ is a missions organization as well. So we are a sending agency. We'll ordain people and send them into our local missions or into other missions. And so on that weekend, we will also ordain pastors into the ministry and, you know, send them out into the fields for labor, for the work of the ministry. So that to me was a real special part of the ministry. It sets it apart from your typical, you know, rehab or whatever. It's, to us, it's a lot more than that. It's a whole life. It's a whole mission.
I love it.
Yeah.
Evangeline, give us an idea. What does the Women's Restoration Ranch look like in the Albuquerque metro area?
Well, we are on. Do you want to know about the facility? I'll
tell you. Well, I want people to.
Our daily life.
I know you kind of don't want to tell people where it is because there's a certain amount of safety and things involved in that. Yeah. But I want you to tell listeners, what is it like? Are they going to a dungeon? Are they going to a country club? What should they expect?
Definitely not a country club, but it's not a dungeon either. So we're on about an acre property, a beautiful property. It's about a 1,500 square foot home that we share together. We have horses on the property. We have our our husky ranch dog, Sasha, and we have a beautiful garden setting that we talked about on the last show that was dedicated in my sister's honor. Mm. That is a beautiful water fountain, and we really want to set it up as a place where the women can go and just sit and be in the beauty of God's creation, and to really have a place that's just set apart for them. Mm. And yeah.
This is a sideline, but I was listening to something the other day about all the screen time that we all have on, you name it, computer, cell phone, whatever. And the number of messages coming into our brain through this new media is so incomprehensible by our you know, a lot of people say think they can multitask. Well, the truth is they can't multitask because our brain's not designed that way. Now, you might be able to do this one thing and then this other thing 10 seconds later and then this other thing, but you're really kind of doing one thing at a time. And they were talking about us needing quiet and solitude, 3 hours of that for every one we spend on our screens. And you know how much time we spend on our screens? 7 hours a day.
Wow. That's a lot.
There's not enough hours to recover from that. And I get the sense that that's an addiction you guys will, maybe you're dealing with now, but it's something that you're going to have to deal with more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. That video gaming addiction is a real thing. And back in California, there's some doctors and statisticians. They did some studies that show how the video gaming addiction is a cause of suicide.
Oh, God.
Especially in the military and the Navy. So these were naval doctors. And then they came and talked to us about it. And they were saying how this is a huge thing that's happening. And so we talk about it, you know. We talk about anything that dominates your life and it creates an unhealthy situation.
Well, let's go back to that structure you talked about. You're waking up at 5:30 in the morning and you're involved in a devotional.
Yeah.
You're not getting on your cell phone.
No. That's it's funny because a lot of the guys will reach for their phone and you start reaching for your phone the first, you know, couple of months that you're there and they'll laugh and say, I was looking for my phone. And then, you know, we smile because, yeah, you don't have a phone. And a lot of the guys will say, man, it's so nice to not have to answer that phone or to be on it. I just feel at peace. And of course, we know that you have to have things like that in life, but let's set the priority straight. And so the structure is prioritizing and developing those things that are healthy. Wake up at 5:30, get your day set, have some goals, you know, good habits. Those are all just good habits and things that you can work off of every day. And it's great because when they leave from our program, people are ready to go out into the workforce. They're ready to go out into whatever they have going, whatever God has next for them. We don't want them to stay there. We want them to stay there long enough to they're ready to go.
And that time in your facility is usually how long?
Usually 8 months. Although we do have people who are called to stay there for a long time because they become staff.
Mm.
They become people who are serving others. And so those people are called to stay there. But the other ones who are passing through, like pilgrims, they're there. They're ready to go out and to take the land that God has given them. You know, whatever lot they have in life, God's opening the door for, they're ready. They're strong, able to be dependent on the Lord, but be independent from substance and whatever else causes a person's downfall.
I love it. Evangeline and Mike Gomez, they're part of U-Turn for Christ in New Mexico, part of really an international ministry. This is going on all over the world. They've had a huge amount of success with a lot of different people. When we come back, we've got one more segment with you guys. I'm always amazed how fast this hour goes because we could probably talk for two.
Yeah.
At least. And it wouldn't seem like it was 15 minutes. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how family relationships have been restored with people that have been through your program. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. You'll be encouraged by Mike and Evangeline. Jim Williams this afternoon with you, with Mike Gomez and Evangeline Gomez. They are directors with U-Turn for Christ. I'm amazed what the ministry does. Evangeline, can you give us an example of how you've seen family relationships restored through what you're doing?
Well, one family that comes to mind is a family that's serving with us right now. They've been with us over 2.5 years, and it's just a beautiful example of what God does in this restoration process. So the husband came out first, not really sure if the wife was going to come. And I remember speaking to her on the phone, and she really kept saying, "I don't really think I need to be there. I don't really have a problem." And so, but I kept thinking, like, why do you keep calling me? But, you know, I was patient with her, and her husband finally said, "I'm going. I got to do this. You come if you want to come, but I'm going." And he made that very hard decision to come without his wife. And about a week later, week and a half maybe, she came. Mm-hmm. And they left their parents with their, left their children, their three young children with their parents. And they went through first and second phase. And towards the end of second phase, their children got to come out here mm-hmm. with them because we have a family unit. So now coming this far ahead, their children are in school. They help us run the thrift store. The wife helps me run the women's facility. And because they have missionary hearts and they want to give back and share.
Were the kids encouraged seeing their parents do well through the program?
Absolutely. And their kids are best friends with my kids.
So that's neat.
It's a family. So yes, and to see the kids grow in school and the stability in their lives now, it's just phenomenal to watch God move in that way.
You all have structured your program, so you just kind of pointed out a pretty unique situation. You guys are tailoring things to individuals, aren't you?
Yeah, we want to give people a chance. And you know, do anything we can to be able to save a life. We know what it is to lose people. We know what it is to have seen the enemy rob the lives of your loved ones. And we would rather nobody has to go through that. We would do anything for anybody not to have to go through that.
Are there people right now that you know are listening that maybe they're drinkers and have whatever, and they don't think they have a problem? How could they tell that they have a problem?
You know, you listen to those people around you who are speaking into your life truthfully. A lot of times in addiction, the person who's telling us the things we don't want to hear is the person who's trying to help us. And you hear that, and you can get mad. And it upsets you and you don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, don't we say, "Oh, I don't like that person. They're judgmental."
Yeah.
But that might be the person that loves you and yeah. is willing to speak the truth.
If a person is willing to say something that even gets them in trouble, they love you.
Mm.
And it's truth and truth in love, you know? Mm. And that's what Jesus would do. He would tell us, "Hey, you need to know that you're a sinner, but you need to know that I can save you."
Well, I met a young man, and I'm not going to use his name because I didn't tell him I'd use his name on the radio, but he did give me permission to share his story. I've already talked to you about it before we started today. Met him a couple days ago. He's part of the maintenance staff at Calvary, and he started telling me his testimony. And part of U-Turn, been a part of the maintenance team at Calvary for a long time, but he's always had a dream to be a truck driver and to get a CDL. And I guess he's recently gone through all the training and passed the test, and pretty soon he's going to go be a truck driver. And I just thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it's really neat to see the doors open and to watch these guys and these gals walk through those open doors, and they build a life, you know, that's founded on the foundation. And you could see how faithful God is over the years. We have a gathering, and we'll have a gathering this year, October 12th, and it's our yearly gathering. We call it the pig roast, right? The annual matanza mm-hmm. in New Mexico. But it's a chance for people who have had God work in their life, and they've been, you know, through the ministry, to just gather and tell the story of what God did for them. And you see it. So you see people just drawn back because they want to give what others have poured into their life, what Jesus has done in their life. They want to give hope. And so God is at work, but a lot of people are struggling right now. And there's a lot of hopelessness. We've had just things happen. One of our guys that's been with us a long time, he was going to work the other day, and somebody just jumped out of nowhere, and they hit him on the head with the bat, hit him off his bike. And we were just thinking, why would this happen? Or he was thinking this, and you know, he ended up in the hospital, and why is this happening? And then another one of the staff guys, somebody, you know, tried to steal his truck, and then they got they almost hurt him pretty bad. And it was it just came down to this situation. People are really desperate right now. And that desperateness drives you to do crazy things. But
and a lot of times there's substances involved.
Yes.
when you're that desperate for things, and it makes you think outside the box. We can't cover everything, so I want you to take a minute now, if you would, and think about our listeners. What would you invite them? How would they be able to help you at U-Turn for Christ?
There's a lot of ways. The obviously, we're you said we're not government supported, so we count on individuals, people who are believers who are led by the Lord. They will donate, support the ministry. And it's great to have that the partnership. People can do that monthly. We just got a letter this morning.
I went to the post office right before I came here, and we got this cool note in the mail along with the check. It said, "Dear Pastor Mike Gomez, just wanted you to know that we can bless you with $50 a month starting this month. Thank you for what you do. May God bless your ministry." So things like this are so encouraging to our hearts, because we cannot do what we do on this mission field. And that's exactly what this is. I know we want to support out of country missions, and that's fine, but this is an inner city mission. And we are on the mission field 24 hours a day, and we need the body of Christ to partner with us on this mission field. So monthly donors, sending it in through the P.O. box, like this check just came in, online, setting up that monthly donation, one-time donors, vehicle donations, donating through our thrift store helps us, because every single thing, every penny that goes into the thrift store that we goes right back into the ministry.
By the way, I've donated a bunch of items that you sell and you make money, but I've also bought some stuff at the thrift store that's kind of cool. I bought a couple birthday presents and things.
We have a lot of neat stuff. Albuquerque is a real generous community. And, you know, for all of the things that come out, Albuquerque is a generous and loving place, and we want to see them, community, everybody know Jesus.
Mike and Evangeline, we appreciate your work with U-Turn for Christ. That's U-TurnForChristNewMexico.org, 505-217-6888. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.